and your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your love for us, and we pray that you would be glorified and magnified in our midst tonight. Thank you. Draw out what you need, what we need to hear, what you need to say. In Jesus' name, amen. There is no air here at all. Right under that thing, and I don't feel it. We're just moving a bunch of stuff, so. Well, last week, or the week before, last time we met, and we were talking, we spent a little bit of time in Romans 10, 8 through 13. And we were talking about the message is near you, it's in your mouth and in your heart. And this message of faith, which we proclaim that, and we all know this, Romans 8, 9, and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Christ Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And we thank God for that. And we talked about, you know, it's near you, it's in you. The kingdom of God is within us, it's upon us. And we, I can't wear this shirt again, it just doesn't breathe. Salvation comes by a heart belief and a confession of our mouth. We're giving Jesus lordship in our life. But that word salvation is sozo. It's an all-inclusive word, and it brings in all, we talked about this, all of salvation and what it means. What was lost in the fall was regained through redemption. And we put our faith in that. So when we're confessing Jesus as Lord, he's Lord over everything. There's something that I was kind of excited to see tonight, and I hope I can bring it out. I'm not going to do it right now because I'll jump to the end and I'll miss the whole middle. So we're just going to talk about these things. There's a condition that we look at in verse 9. The condition is if. I'm going to reread this whole thing. If you got your Bible, Romans 10. And we're starting in verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Amen. So we can count on, can have confidence in the fact that what our Lord has said for us to do, the conditions, the requirements for us, if you do this, then this will happen, and your faith is not going to put you to shame. Amen? Believe. It's a heart belief. It's a confession with your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's not, it's the two becoming one. Do you ever know somebody say, or maybe you've said some words that you really didn't believe, really didn't? It wasn't really in your heart. You're just saying it to say it because it was the right thing to say, but it really hadn't dropped in your heart. Ever been there? Well, this is a unification of your heart and your mouth. And you're saying what you believe. You're giving him lordship. He is Lord. He has place, preeminence in our life as Lord. Well, he is the Savior and healer is part of that. Deliverer is part of that. Amen. Everything he's ever declared himself to be, he is. When we fell in when sin entered in, death did also. So sickness, disease, deformities, all those things entered in when sin came upon mankind. There was a separation from God, sin entered in, and then the enemy corrupted what was good. Up until that point, everything was declared good. It's not the will of God that we be sick. He paid a tremendous price, and it belongs to us. It belongs to Him, and He gave it to us. Amen? He purchased it. It's a purchased possession. Our redemption, everything we have in it, He purchased. And it's pretty exciting to look at, and we'll look at some things in a minute, but Ephesians 2:8. Most all of you probably know this by heart. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Hallelujah. So we're absolutely in a helpless situation. There's nothing that we could do to save ourselves. Although religion pretty much sets it all up in that light. That you work yourself into salvation. That if you're good enough. I remember saying so many Hail Marys and Our Fathers and Glory Bees and all these things. These to work my way. If I went so many First Fridays, I could guarantee my way into heaven. Well, it really doesn't work that way. You can't give your way into heaven. You can't work your way into heaven. We go to heaven by one thing and one thing alone, because we've been covered in the blood and we believe what He did. Amen? It's not by our works, but we put faith in what's been accomplished through Jesus. There's one requirement, and that is faith. Believe and confess. It is a gift. Grace is a gift. It's been given unto us. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. The grace isn't from you. The faith isn't from you. Everything's been delivered unto us, and we receive it. It's not by works, but there's a certain amount. If you believe something, you're going to do something with it, right? If I have, we'll just look at some examples in the Bible. The four men that were brought down in that bed, they couldn't get in. The crowd was so thick around the building. And they knew Jesus was in there. They knew healing was available. They wanted to get in there, but they couldn't get in. It was so thick, so they went up to the rooftop. They tore up the roofing tiles, and they lowered him down in the midst of the crowd. Now, was that faith or works? It was faith, but it promoted them to do something. Their faith moved them to do something. Right? The woman with the issue of blood, she had heard about Jesus. She had heard that if you just touch the hem of His garment, you'll be made whole. So she went in. She pushed herself. She pushed past the Jewish law. She pushed past her own human strength. She pushed past everything, and she went in the midst of the crowd and pushed past. It's a good thing Jairus stopped. She could make her way through the crowd a little better since they stopped, right? But she pushed past all the frailties and all the humanities and all the religious and laws and all those things because she heard something. And what she heard is, if I just touch his garment, I'll be made whole. So she kept saying, believe where? In your heart, and confess with your mouth. Well, she kept saying in herself, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. When we really believe something, we're inspired. How many of you have been singing, he's changing me? Like nonstop for the last week and a half. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. Why? Because it's in my heart. It's in your heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, I have faith that he's changing me. And he's not giving up on me. He's not tossing me in the junk heap. Amen? But he's changing me. And when I see him, I'll be like him. And I thank God for the grace and all that he's doing on my behalf. And I have confidence in that. Well, it's bubbling up. It's coming out of my mouth, right? Out of her mouth. That faith was stirred up in her heart. She said something. And I love the Amplified, how it states it. She kept saying in herself. I like that. Meditating isn't zoning out. That's that Eastern meditation. Now, meditating is mulling it over. It's chewing it over. It's going over and over and over again. And you get the word, a scripture in your heart. You get a concept about Jesus, about the Father, about his love. And you think about that thing, and it stirs up within your heart. There's a continue. You're continually thinking about that thing. Well, we need to do that. We need to meditate upon the Word of God. We need to meditate upon the promises of God. When a truth comes to light, we need to look at it and chew on it. Amen? And we will, hello, we will have a greater grasp with our faith. The more place you give to the truths of God's word, the more you think on it, chew on it, let it settle in your heart, the greater your faith is going to grow. Amen? One thought isn't enough. Amen? Why do we go over the word every day? We need to get it in there, right? Amen. Well, so anyways, back to Ephesians. It's a gift. It's a grace. It's from God. Let's go over to Hebrews 4. Okay. Hebrews 4:1 says this, "Let us therefore fear," and that's not talking about fear and trembling like you're afraid of something, like we use fear in most of our sense here. This is an awe, it's a respect, it's a reverential fear. "Let us therefore fear lest a promise being of left us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." Let me just reread that because something messed up. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. We're talking about entering into the rest of God. We're talking about this not being a works program that we receive by faith. And faith is a grace that's been given unto us by God. And we can put our confidence in that. But what real faith is coming into a rest. It's coming into a place of rest where we rest from our works. And it says this word comes to a reposing down or a lying down in rest. It literally laying down. That's where God wants us. Not stressed or frenzied or worried or overwhelmed by things, but resting in him because he said it and we can count on him, because he's true and he's faithful, because he's already accomplished it and it's complete in him. And we come to a place where we look at him and we look at his faithfulness and everything that he's said and done, everything he's set in order, everything he's brought about for us. We can just relax, just kick back and relax when we have confidence in him, in his word, in who he is, in his character. It's coming into a rest. You're not going to make it happen by grunting it out. But you come into a rest by knowing it's done. Verse 2, for unto us the gospel was preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The gospel was preached, but the word preached didn't profit them because it was not mixed with faith. So you can hear the word of God and not respond to it in faith. You can have two people sitting side by side. We can have, let's just say Jane and Marianne. Sitting there side by side. And one of them, they're hearing the same word. They're getting the same truth. But one's mixing with faith and one is not. And it looks the same. They're both smiling. They're both pretty. They both have their Bibles. Amen. Heart is what? The word drops down into your heart, right? If we're really grabbing hold of those truths, they're not just floating by, they're not just thoughts in our mind. We grab hold of it and think, bless God. Yeah, that's true. I believe that. Faith is simply believing the word of God is true. It's as simple as that. But we can preach something and you can have people... 5-6 different people come and say something about it, and each one of them got something different. Because God, the word is so multifaceted, and we're all at different places, that it can hit your heart in one way, and hit Brian in a different way, and hit Dennis a different way, and Art, you know, it comes, why? Because we're in different places. We have different needs. It's just amazing how God can take one word of truth and just deposit it in each and every one of us and bring faith if we're listening. Now, we need to listen with our human ears, but the word of God says, did it drop down into your heart, the ears of your heart? Hallelujah. Do you have ears to hear? I mean, the word, you know, it's preached. It asks that question a couple different occasions. It's not just physical ears. It's spiritual ears. Are we perceiving in our spirit? Are we grasping hold of the truth? because you have to mix faith with the Word of God. The Word of God, I looked at some of these things when I was in the evangelical church. And I read the Word of God a lot. And I was in there for 10 years before I went, before I was baptized in the Holy Ghost and I got the Word of faith. 10 years. I don't know how I read past healing for 10 years. But it was in my mind that that was for the beginning of the church age. It was for building the church, that God was pouring out His Spirit in that day to establish the church and to show signs and wonders that He really was the Christ. And that's where I left it. And I knew He could if He wanted to. He could heal. He could if He wanted to. I just didn't know if He wanted to. I didn't know the will of God. Well, if I don't know the will of God concerning something, can I have faith in that area? Can He? Will He? Those are the two questions that have to be answered. I knew He could if He wanted to, but I sure was not convinced that He wanted to. You know, He might just be teaching you something. You might need this to learn a lesson. You might need this to get patience. I don't know about you, but that's where my thinking was. That's where my understanding was. And I'll tell you, during that time frame, I didn't see miracles. I didn't see healings, sprinkling, and I didn't understand them. So I couldn't share them with somebody else. I couldn't bring truth or light to them because I didn't get it myself. So there I acknowledged everything. Well, He can if He wants to. We just don't know if He wants to. It's got to be settled. See, I didn't, all those years hearing about the things of the Spirit, hearing about healing, I wasn't mixing it with faith. Because I had already had a preconceived idea in my mind that was saying, I don't know if He wants to. Hadn't figured it out that that's what it was, but that was the underlying thing that I couldn't get in faith on, is I didn't know. These are two things, and it doesn't matter if it's for healing or any other thing that you're believing God for, you need to know, can He and will He? And a lot of times, when we look at this scripture about, I think it's the leper. Hang on just a second, I'll see what I wrote down. No, it was the demon-possessed boy in Mark 9, 14 through 29. And the father was desperate, and he said to Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus' response to the father was, if you can believe, all things. All things are possible to him who believes. Not just a few, but all. Amen. Now, his response then with tears, I believe, but help my unbelief. And I think there's too much pride in the body of Christ, because a lot of times we won't admit we got some unbelief that we need to work through. Oh, I'm in faith, I'm in faith, I'm in faith. Hallelujah. Faith isn't a work. Oh, it's a fine line. You know what? It really is. Because we're not going to be grunting out faith. We just simply walk as belief. It's simply coming into agreement with the Word. You know what? I'm just going to trust God. I'm just going to rest in His promises. I'm just going to relax with this whole thing because he took stripes on His back. He willingly took it and bore it for me. That's what his word says. And if I believe his word, then what else is there for me to do? But have a confident expectation. That's what faith is, isn't it? A confident expectation. In what? That what he did was accomplished. Therefore, it has to manifest in my body. But when? It didn't happen instantly. So does that mean it didn't happen? Brother Hagin gave this illustration one time. He was in a service. It was in New York, and there was a huge crowd. He prayed for people, and several people that were in wheelchairs had great disabilities, unable to walk. He prayed for them, like three in a row, got up and just moved, ran, did all sorts of things. It was amazing. And then after that, there was a little boy. He just got done praying for this lady, and she was wheelchair bound. The next one was a little boy this couple brought up, and he had club feet, and they were all turned in. He was crippled up. And he prayed for that little boy. Now, when he did, you didn't see any instant manifestation. It didn't look like anything happened at all. Now, I don't know about you, when you pray for the sick, sometimes I'll feel electricity. Sometimes I'll feel heat. Sometimes I feel nothing. Sometimes I just feel the presence of God around me. Sometimes there's absolutely no feeling. God doesn't want us to trust in feelings. He wants us to trust in his word, right? But he said, to help you, I want you to understand this, that when I prayed for your little boy, I felt the healing anointing stronger on him than the lady in the wheelchair just before him. He says, I just want you to know that. That might help you, the parents. So he prayed for that little boy, and nothing happened. Well, let's ask a question. Did nothing happen? When you pray, does anything happen? What happens the minute you pray? He hears. And if we pray anything according to his will, we should have confidence that he hears it and does what? He answers it. So do you see something happen the minute you pray? Sometimes. But if you don't see something happen, then what? Nothing happened. Guess it didn't work. We got to be careful. We got to be careful. We don't want to back out of what God's done. We need to hold it up in faith and to rest in God. God, I'm trusting you. This is your word, and you said it, whether I feel it or don't feel it. And he told the parents of the little boy, he said, now this is what I want you to do. You keep that switch of faith turned on. He says, what I mean by that is every time you go to brush that little boy's hair, every time you feed him, every time you bathe him, every time you sit down and play with him, every time you think of him, you say. We were talking about saying before, weren't we? Believe in the heart, confess with the mouth. So they're bringing it forth, reestablishing every time they say it, it's reestablishing faith. He says, I want you to keep your switch of faith turned on. Don't go into neutral. See, this is where a lot of people do it. If they don't see anything happen, they just kind of drop the ball and just sit in neutral and, well, we'll see what happens. No, something happened. Let's keep the faith activated. So he said, I want you to say this. the healing power of God went into my child to effect a healing and a cure. That anointing went in, and it's in there purposed to bring forth a healing and a cure. And they were faithful to do that. They listened to him. They followed him. Day one, said it and said it and said it and said it. It didn't appear as though anything happened. Day two, same thing. It didn't appear as though anything happened. But they were faithful to keep the faith, that switch of faith turned on. They kept saying it. They kept targeting their faith in that area. Day three, his feet began to turn. Hallelujah. By the end of the week, that family came to the church. They set that little boy down, and he ran to the front. Hallelujah. Amen. So many, and I know when I was first in the faith message, one of the things I did was I would drop the ball. If I didn't feel it, I thought I got nothing. Well, that's just a lie from the pit of hell. It's all by faith. Our whole life is by faith, so we can't go by what we feel. Sometimes God blesses us, and we can feel some tangible anointing. And I love it when it happens, but not all times does that happen. And that's where the rubber meets the road. You stand your ground. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Amen? And that's where... Here's the dividing line. On this side, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Those one-armed bandits, slot machines, whatever they are. That's kind of the mentality. It's not confessing because we believe it. It's confessing to get it. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. If I say it 100 times today, every day I'm going to say it 100 times, and then I'll get it. By Jesus' stripes I'm healed. That is works, and works don't work. But what did the little family do? Keep the switch of faith turned on. They kept saying something, right? Here's the dividing line. Works or the healing power of God went into you and just effect a healing and a cure. That power went into you. It's doing something in you. Amen? What is that doing? Do you see a difference between the two? They're almost identical. But it's the heart. This isn't convinced that it's true. This is convinced that if we say it enough, it'll come to pass. If we do it enough, it'll come to pass. And this over here is reiterating and keeping faith stirred up that no matter what I see, the word is true. I believe it. I believe it. I believe that healing power went into you. What happened to the fig tree? Jesus walked over to the thing. It had leafed out. Those kind of trees themselves don't leaf out unless it's harvest time, unless they're producing fruit. So because it was bearing the leaves and he's looking in the leaves for the fruit, there's no figs on that thing. Hypocritical tree. He cursed the thing. Nobody eat fruit of you hereafter. That's all he said. Right? And he walked down with his disciples, went into town, came back, and then the next morning when they're going by the tree, the disciples said what? Master, the fig tree you cursed, it's withered. From what? From the roots up. Well, how can they tell it's withered from the roots up? They have to be looking at the roots, right? That tree had to have toppled over and the roots are sticking out of the ground and withered up. But when they walked by and he said something, when he spoke to that tree, it appeared as though nothing happened. The leaves didn't fall off. It didn't fall over. It didn't wither. It didn't do anything. It was a tree. The same as it was a tree the minute before he cursed it. It still looked like the same fig tree. But the next day, what happened? He spoke and something began to change on the inside that was invisible to the eye of man. But they spoke and something happened. We have to have confidence in what he's told us to do. Confidence in what he said. I want to finish reading the scripture here. Verse 3 in Hebrews 4. For we which have believed do not enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. What's he saying here? God created the world. He formed the world. He began the world. Amen? He spoke it into existence. But let's think about this. Where's the Father's faith in all of this thing? It was in Jesus. He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Right? Before man was created, the Father and the Son had an agreement because they knew what man would do. He saw ahead. Somehow he thought we were worth it. Amazing, isn't it? That he would create us anyways when he could see what was in the heart of man, that he could see that rebellion would rise up and all the corruption that has in life. He loved us. He wanted us. He wanted to be intimate with us. He created us. So before the foundation of the world, he considered it done. Him and Jesus must have had a conversation at some point. They must have come to a conclusion that, okay, I'll be the sacrifice. I'll be the lamb before it was ever done. That's what's declared about him. So, the world gets created. Adam sins. The fall takes place. Corruption comes into the earth. Jesus has to come and be sacrificed to pay the penalty of sin for us. The Word of God says that he was tempted on all points. The Father had confidence in the Son. It said when he created the world, what did he do? He sat down and rested on the seventh day. He created it, he put everything into place, and he rested. Hallelujah. Yet, Jesus had to come. Jesus had to come and take his place. He wasn't wringing his hands. The Father wasn't on the throne, pacing back in front of the throne. He was resting. Isn't that amazing? Well, that was Jesus. Jesus just never would sin. The temptation was there for him, or it wouldn't be in the Word of God. It wouldn't be a real temptation if it wasn't a temptation. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to put that in other words. But there was something in those things where there was a temptation that he could step out into that and do that. Well, what would have happened? Everything would come crashing down. It'd be done and over. That's it. So the Father knew, amen, what the temptations were, what he was going to be faced with, how he was going to be tortured and abused, all this, and yet he rested because he knew. That's what he wants us to do, is come to a place where we're confident in him. The Father was confident in Jesus, in his character, in who he was. He was totally confident in him, and because of that, he rested. This word is something that we need to come to a place where we're totally 100% confident in it, and we come to a place of rest, that we're good. You know, it doesn't matter what so-and-so's doing, what they're saying. Lord, you can shut their mouth. You can turn this thing around. I don't know how to do it. I'm not even going to try to do it. I'm going to trust you to do it. Too many times we jump in and we're trying to fix and we're trying to turn things around. We're trying to make it all happen. What do we need to do? Be like Jesus. What did he do? Only what the Father showed him to do. What did he say? Only what the Father told him to say. But our natural ability, our humanity, we want to get in and work it out and twist things around and make it happen. And when it comes to working with people, that's our biggest area where we want to make it happen. And it's hard sometimes to just let go and say, okay, God, you know what I'm up against here. You know what they're dealing with. I'm going to trust you. And sometimes that's one of those things that you're going to have to constantly throw at the throne. Sometimes it'll bounce right back at you till it sticks. And you truly are leaving it with him. Amen. If everything was totally independent, if it was just me and God, it'd be a whole different world. But we interact with people, and because of that, a lot of times that's where a lot of our faith comes about. And that's where we get in trouble, because we don't really trust him. And when it comes to other people, we can't make them, and he can't either. But he can reveal to them what they need to see. And then they will come to a place of decision in their own life. But either way, we got to come to a place where we rest. Because if we live in constant turmoil, it's going to corrupt, it's going to kill us if we live there long enough. Stress and conflict destroy the body. And it's not a good place to be. We need to come to a place of rest. So he entered into a place of rest before the foundation of the world. What was the place of rest? That it was finished. Before it was began, it was finished. Amen. It's kind of amazing, isn't it? I don't know about you, but that just kind of blows me away, how vast our God's thinking is. He counted it done from the beginning. And that's what we need to do. Count it done. Whether we see it or feel it, smell it, taste it, we need to just come to a place where we're just, okay, I trust you, Lord. You're going to work it out. You're going to help me. I trust that you're working in my body right now. Amen. I trust that you're making a way for me. Amen. Okay, where were we? I think we'll jump down to verse. Verse 7. Again, he designated a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after such a long time as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." Hebrews 4, and that was verse 7. Verse 8 says, "For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. Then remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Word of God is truth, and the Word of God is alive. The Word of God is powerful. And we can't just open it and look at it and read it and, I wonder if that's any good. I wonder if that means anything. When we grab hold of this is God speaking to me. This is life to my soul and my spirit. When we actually believe that God wants to commune with us and to bring light to our situation, and then we'll go in there and he's it springs to life. Do you ever just open the Word and just right there is exactly what you need to hear? Exactly. Might not what you want to hear, but it'll be what you need to hear. Amen? Our God is amazing. And His Word is real. And the bottom line is this is exactly what He wants us to do every day of our life. No matter how tough the situation is, just kick back and trust Him. Rest in Him. Just relax. God's word's true. Thank you, Lord, you're working in me. Thank you that resurrection, life-giving power is working in this body. Amen. To effect a healing and a cure. That you're working in my soul, that I can be free from myself. Man, there's so many bondages that we wrap ourselves in just trying to come to a place where we're at peace with ourselves. And He's paid the price completely. He says, "You're clean, you're holy, you're pure, you're perfect, you're under the blood, you're my beloved. I value you. I value you so much that I gave my Son in your place to die. And I bought you back. And I declare you're holy. You're righteous. Perfect." "Yeah, but I can't believe that." Well, the biggest problems most people have is they can't believe that. What God says about them is really true. But that's the truth is what will set us free. And that's where we need to meditate. That's what we need to chew on. I believe a lot of sickness and disease and depression and mental and emotional illness and trauma, social inability to act with people is due to not grasping hold of who we really are, putting value and worth of who we really are, striving to prove we're good enough, to prove we're okay, that we're important, we're as good as anybody else. There's always this climbing, striving, and it's another thing we just got to rest in. Yeah, but I don't feel okay about myself. Well, the just shall live by faith. Whether you feel it or not, you have to believe it. God's word is true, period. He says you're holy, period. You're justified. That he, if you're a Christian, he says you're justified. What does that mean? The easiest way to remember what that means, it's just as if I'd never sinned. You've been set apart. You've been taken from the world and the nonsense there and the ugliness and the sin and corruption that was in your life, and you've been set apart for the purposes of God. He's righted what was wrong. He made it as though you've never sinned. Because that's how he sees you, under the blood, pure and holy and perfect. That's why 1 John 1:9 is in the Word of God. It's not written to the lost, it's written to the saved. Why? So we have permission to sin and just do whatever we want whenever we want? No, not at all. But when you do sin, you're free. If you do what? Let's turn to 1 John 1:9. If you don't have this underlined in your Bible, do it. This is a freeing scripture. Whenever you see if, it's a condition. Something is required. There's two parts to it. So this is it. If you confess our sins, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. That's liberating, isn't it? And I remember when I was coming out of some of the nonsense I was in, and I just didn't understand. I didn't understand that. And I would sit around, I'd beat myself up, and I'd feel guilty, and I'd go the whole run the wrong way because I didn't understand forgiveness. I didn't understand mercy. I didn't get it. But he says this here, if you confess your sins, to what? To him. You're talking to him. We don't have to go to a priest. We don't have to go to a confessional. We have to go to him. The veil's been open, so anytime I want, I can go before God. Anytime. Even in the midst of sin, I think, oh my God, I can't believe I did this. Lord, I am so sorry. I confess my sin to you. Then what is he bound to by his word? What is he bound to by his character? He's faithful and just. To do what? Forgive us and cleanse us. Hallelujah. Clean. And that's how he sees you. Through the blood, holy, pure, righteous, justified. What an awesome God. It's freeing. It really is freeing. But I believe with what I've been through and with people that I've counseled with that one of the things we need to meditate on more than anything is who we are in Christ. And believe it. If you're reading the word and not believing it, you're wasting time. Faith is simply believing God. This is the Word of God. And it brings life. It brings light. What we need to see, the revelation we need to have. We need to grab hold of it. We need to run with it. You know, too many times we just read past. Read past scripture all the time. We just read it while we're just in, you know. Just filling our time. Okay. All right, that's enough. I've read my chapter. Got my chapter in today. Hallelujah. I'm a good Christian. I read my chapter today. But if I didn't believe it, if none of it registered on my heart, if I don't apply anything I just read, then what am I doing? We need to believe it enough that we're willing to stand. How many years was it between the foundation of the world and it is finished on the cross, where the Father stood to see it taken? He sat down and rested. He's our example. It doesn't look like something's happening. It doesn't mean nothing's happening. It's at a place where we rest in Him. When you've done all to stand. And then pull up a chair and rest. But stand your ground. Stand on the Word. Stand on the promises. Don't be swayed every which way. Regardless of what you're feeling physically or emotionally, you set yourself in agreement with what God's Word says. I had a friend who, we're going to go down and see him this week. And God spoke to them, and they were renting this little house in Missouri, and God spoke to them about this big house that the doctor owned up on the hill. Big, several acres, huge. It borders a state campground right on Lake Taneycomo. So you got the lake, you got the campground, you're nestled up in there on the hill, horses in the front yard, creek down the side. I mean, it's just like I go there and we sit on the porch. That's all I have to do. I'm good. I don't need to do anything else. I just unhook, just peace. I love it. But there were several years there when they weren't in the house. God had spoke to them to buy this house. And it was several hundreds of thousands of dollars that they didn't have. Hallelujah. But God put it in their heart. And they're looking at this thing, and it's bigger than them. And they don't have the ability to just go outright and get a loan for that kind of money. But God said, it's yours. Everything in the natural was against what they were looking at, but God said. What do you do when God says something? Figure it all out? Plot it all out? Plan it all out? What do you do? What if you're figuring and plotting and planning don't line up with what God's saying? Then what? There's a step of faith. There's a step on the water. Amen? They had several years. And it wound up that the doctor so wanted them to have the house that he cut the price down incredibly so they could have it. And all sorts of things. I can't remember all the details, But so many things just switched and turned, and it wound up where they had the house. But in the middle of all of that, several times, it looked like they weren't going to have the house. Does that sound familiar to anybody in here? God put something in your heart, and it looks like all hell's breaking loose. What do you mean? What do you mean? How can this be? If you said it, God, why isn't it happening? Why? When you've done all to stand, stand. So if it's in your heart, you hold that seed of faith. And you keep it before the Lord and you keep it in prayer. You keep that vision alive. If it's a God thing, you can't get rid of it. When I wanted to go to Rhema, oh my goodness, I wanted to go. And I called Pastor Gary up from home and said, "Hon, why don't you pack the kids up and come on down?" That didn't go over. Didn't go over at all. I was teasing, but I was half serious too. And it was several years because he had just committed to a job, good government job, good benefits, good retirement, good everything about it, good insurance, good everything. And he committed that he'd be there a minimum of 3 years. That stunk. But a good man swears to his own hurt. He upholds his word. That's what the word of God says. That you put your word out there, you hold to your word, whether it's comfortable for you or not. So he gave this, he had just given his word that he'd be there a minimum of 3 years. So he stuck to it. Meanwhile, I cried for 3 years. I didn't understand faith fully. And when I was at Rhema, it was just like, oh, something dropped in my heart. I didn't see ministry. Ministry was not why we went to Rhema. I wanted to know God. I didn't see myself in ministry at all. We thought we'd be great helps ministers, but not real ministers. God's funny, isn't he? But it was 3 years where I had to stand and believe. And sometimes I'd do real good. And sometimes I'd put it on the shelf and I'd say, must have been a spiritual high I was on. I must have just be imagining this thing. And I just try to let it sit on that shelf. And then after a while it was like, I'd have to go get it again and look at it again because I couldn't get rid of it. The vision, the heart, the desire was on the inside of me and I couldn't completely let go of the thing. I kept coming back to it. I never should have put it on the shelf. I should have incubated that little seed and kept it just guarded and competent. That this was from God, I'll see it come to pass. But I allowed the enemy to talk me in and out of it. Out of it. God talked me into it. He talked me out of it. Thief comes not but to steal. Steal what? Seed of faith. But God. Sharon Halverson, she's been a lifelong friend. She confronted me about it. Says, you need to repent and get in faith. Give it up or get in faith. Thought, well, I guess I do. So I did. I repented. I prayed with her that night. I repented. And I thought, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you with this because I can't give it up. I just can't. It's in me too strong. So I have to have this thing. I'm going to hold on to this thing. I'm going to trust you with this thing. And then the very next day, I had applied to Rhema, even though I probably shouldn't have because he wasn't ready yet. But So I had one application that I'd filled out. So they had my name and address, but they only send applications to you if you request them. They don't just send them out randomly. Doesn't happen. And when I went in, the next morning, I went into my mailbox. Here's an application from Rhema. I thought, well, hallelujah. I got pretty excited about that. Pastor Gary was gone hunting, and I was with the kids, so we took them to Chuck E. Cheese. And there's this, you know how they have the little mechanical puppets, and they have their themes and stuff? Well, it's a country western theme, and here is Chuck E. singing, God made Oklahoma just for you. Said, hallelujah. That's set in my heart. Sounds crazy, but it bore witness to my heart. And then, meanwhile, while I'm doing this, God's dealing with Pastor Gary. He's up in a tree stand in the middle of the woods. And God opens a vision to him. And he sees him packing up our cars. And he knew instantly it was to go to school. And he just says, this is not convenient. But that was when we made that move, made that commitment that here we're going. It wasn't convenient. Three kids, pack up and move away. But it's the best move we ever made. Amen. But there was turmoil because I wasn't resting in the promise. I wasn't resting in the vision, the plan, the purpose that God had for me. And until I grabbed hold of that thing and committed it to God, that's when he really started moving. It's when I finally came back to the place where, okay, God, I agree with you. I know this is you. I know we will have it. Well, that's how it is with all the promises of God. Whether you see things happening or don't see things happening, we need to come to a place of rest and confidence in God and trust him that his word is true, because it is. And he's faithful to watch over his word to perform it. But it's a cooperation. It's a working together with. Come here, Trinity. I used this illustration yesterday, and just I think it's such a good one. It's a working together with the Holy Ghost. A lot of times we'll say, okay, Holy Ghost, you're the Holy Ghost, come help me. He's called the helper, right? Holy Ghost is the helper? Okay. I need to move this. Holy Ghost, please help me move this.
You want me to help you?
Help me. But that's, who's moving it?
Me, the Holy Ghost.
But who's the helper?
You.
The Holy Ghost. And that's exactly what most of us think. The Holy Ghost is going to come take hold and take charge and do everything for us. And we're waiting for him to do it all, but he's our helper. So we have to take hold together. And together, we make it happen. Together, we make a move. Together, we follow the Holy. It's a interaction. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He's good, isn't he? So let's enter into that rest. Let's come to that place where we're truly, truly, truly trusting that his word is true. And relaxed. When we stop striving, you know you've entered into the rest. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. We thank you for your goodness and your grace and the accomplished work on the cross. We thank you that your healing, resurrection, life-giving power resides on the inside of us. And even now, you're working. Your power is moving through our very being, moving through our veins and muscles and tendons and ligaments and bones and marrow and blood and circulating our entire body. So we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you're bringing into balance all hormones and all chemicals in our body. We thank you for it, Lord. We call our bodies into line right now. Be healed, be whole. And we trust that your work at the cross, the stripes on your back before you went to the cross, was sufficient to pay for healing for our body. So we thank you for it. We trust you. And we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, we call it finished. Amen. Amen. So we have a little bit of a break.